Welcome to Transforming Grace with Pastor Phil Layton of Gold Country Baptist Church in Shingle Springs. What's the most beautiful word in the English language? Pastor Layton reveals the answer today in part two of The Ministry of Marriage, Motherhood, and Making Home the Priority. Open your Bible to Titus chapter 2 as we listen to our teacher.
Ministry of Motherhood. Verse 4 began with lovers of their husbands, and the next phrase there is especially for young moms, lovers of children, lovers of their children. Both qualities of being a husband lover, literally, and a children lover were found in inscriptions from New Testament times commending a good wife. The fact that Paul addresses the younger women initially here as those who are married and with children in this text was the norm in Crete of young women, but that in no way should make you feel excluded from this ministry or from this message. These things would apply to all ladies, and of course the character applies to all of us. The mention of husband and children in chapter 1 for men who lead the church, as we saw before, doesn't necessarily require that every man who would serve officially in the church has to be married with multiple children at home, that they would be unable to serve. Paul is speaking to the normal situation in those days, and the character qualities apply to all. So Titus 2, 4 through 5 addresses the younger women, and although it's going to mention the husband and children, the character qualities are such that all should exemplify. No one can tune out of this message. Young unmarried ladies, this is the type of lady you need to be striving to be now. And certainly even with teenage gals and young gals, you can support families. You can be a lover of children now, even when you don't have your own children. You can care for and love children of those in our church, whatever your life stage is, even if you're beyond the stage where you had your own children. Young unmarried men, this is the type of lady you need to be looking for. Forget what our world says about what you should be looking for. This is it right here, Titus chapter 2. Married men, be encouraging of these things in your wives. There's plenty of discouragements in our world from what this passage would say against fulfilling this passage. Be one who encourages them toward this. If you're raising daughters, as I am, this is what I want my daughters to be like. This is what I should be raising them to. That should be my main objective, my main goal. Not what sort of college or what sort of things they do with their life, but that first and foremost, that this would be true of their life. Whatever else the Lord wants to do with them is up to Him, but I want to instill character in my children. And here, it is especially for the moms. Teach the younger moms to love their children. Teach them what biblical love is. If they think it's not loving to spank or discipline their children, teach them that God's Word says you actually hate your children if you spare the rod, according to Proverbs. Teach them what love is. And women, help your fellow women challenge them to ask if it is really loving or best for their family to drop off little kids at daycare and pursue a career to fund your lifestyle or to give your kids more stuff. Ladies need to encourage and challenge the thinking of some who think it's more loving to have someone else raise their kids so that they can get a bigger place for them to live in and to play with. It is godly gals who need to teach the young moms to be devoted to and nurturing and loving their children when they think they're going to lose their mind and pull out their hair with the difficulties and challenges and stresses of being a mom. Help them with that. Most importantly, mature moms, teach them how to teach and disciple their children in the ways of God, from God's Word, in an ungodly world, and how to do that with all of life. And Deuteronomy 6 is a great passage that shows how to do that when you lie down, when you rise up, as you walk along the way. Every part of life, we are to instruct them diligently. And of course, fathers have a critical role to play as well. Teach them, ladies, the value of sacrificing lifestyle for the Lord's priorities. This is the essential ministry of motherhood. Go back a few pages to see how this ministry impacted Paul's other spiritual son in the faith, 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy 1:5, Paul speaking to Timothy, his son in the faith, as he calls him in verse 2, his beloved son, and he says, verse 5, I am mindful of the sincere faith within you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am sure that it is in you as well. Apparently, his father was not saved, and maybe his grandfather as well, but his grandmother Lois passed on these truths to his mother Eunice, and then she passed them on to Timothy. And we know that explicitly because look at chapter 3, 2 Timothy 3, verse 15. It says, going back to verse 14, you, however, continue in the things that you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the sacred writings. How did he know them from a little child? from his mother. From childhood, you have known the sacred writings which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. If there's anyone here who doesn't know Christ Jesus, this is where you find how to have the wisdom that leads to salvation in Christ Jesus, in this book that teaches us that it is only by grace alone, through faith in Christ, trusting in Him and what He did on the cross. The Scriptures, even the Old Testament Scriptures, which are referred to here, point to our need for a Savior, that all our righteous deeds, the best things we do, are as filthy rags, that there would need to be someone who would come and who would suffer for our sins, and the chastisement that was due us would be upon Him, and that by His stripes, by His beatings, by His death, we could be healed eternally and forgiven from our sins because of the sacrifice of the Messiah, the Lamb of God who can take away our sins, His perfect righteousness, His perfect life. If you trust in Him and Him alone, not in your own righteousness, which you need to deplore and put beside, but trust only in His righteousness, what Jesus did, you, like Timothy, even through any part of the Scriptures, can come to know that Jesus is the only way, the truth, and the life, and that salvation is through Him. And it says there in verse 16, all Scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for teaching. How are these women going to teach the other women? The Word of God is profitable for teaching and reproof, for correction, for training. How are these young women to be trained? It's going to be through the Word of God. This is a vital, important ministry, the most important ministry, and the best way you can love your children is not by giving them all the toys they want, but giving them all the truth they need to be saved and to be sanctified and satisfied in the sweet and sufficient Word of God, which is able to save your soul, the Word of a God who loves them and loves you and whose ways are best. Proverbs 1 begins with the instruction of a son, child, and the fear of the Lord. And Solomon writes in his intro, "Do not forsake your mother's teaching." Indeed, they are a graceful wreath, he describes here. They are a graceful wreath, rather, to your head and ornaments about your neck. It's a picturesque portrayal of the beautiful thing it is when a mother passes on truth to a child and when the child receives it, the value and blessing of that. I heard about a survey where they asked some 600 young people what was the most beautiful word in the English language to them, and reportedly over 400 of them responded with the word mother. That was just the most beautiful word and memory to them. It's a wonderful impact a mother who loves her children can have on them into their adulthood when she has nurtured and cherished them. What do those 300-pound football players say when the cameras come over to them? It's always "hi, mom." It's never "hi, dad," the guy who taught them how to play and who all those different things. But never underestimate the impact of a loving mom on her children, even into adulthood. The book of Proverbs has a lot to say about that, has a lot to say about the important role of mothers in rearing and teaching and how they should be honored for their role as mothers. And Solomon exemplified that as we read in another passage as his mom came. He honored her. He even got up and took off his crown, got down from his throne and honored his mother. We have examples of in Proverbs of mothers passing along truth there, including the most famous chapter 31, which is really a mother passing on of truth, of what a true godly woman looks like, what her son should be looking for in a wife, and by implication, what her daughters and what all women should strive to be like as well. I've always appreciated mothers and my wife's tremendous role in raising our kids, but I have to tell you, after last weekend, 3 days without my wonderful wife being Mr. Mom, I have grown to appreciate the ministry of motherhood far more, and I could give you illustrations, but we don't have the time. But I do love my precious wife, Jamie, and her wonderful ministry. In ancient Pergamum, there's an epitaph that expresses one man's appreciation for those traits in Titus 2:4. Using the same Greek words in our text here, Julius Bassus to Octavia Paula, my sweetest wife who loved her husband, same phrase, and loved her children and lived with me blamelessly for 30 years. It's a beautiful picture of what is beautiful also in God's eyes. Number 3, the ministry of making home the priority. The ministry of making home the priority. Verse 5 says, to be sensible, pure, workers at home, kind, being subject to their own husbands, so that the word of God will not be dishonored. On this platform, I think it was last month, there was a kindergarten graduation of Providence Christian School, which meets here, and they asked each of the young kids who were moving up into grade school a question as to what they wanted to be when they grew up, and you could guess some of the answers would be a fireman, or someone wanted to be a dentist, or someone wanted to be a teacher, or one young boy I know said he wanted to be a boxer, and one boy said he wanted to be a doctor by day and a transformer by night. I thought that was kind of interesting. What was neat, though, was to hear many of the little girls say they wanted to be a mommy when they grew up. And that's just a beautiful thing. That is a God-given desire from innocent young girls who have not yet been corrupted by the world's way of thinking or feminism. That desire is better than any desire for a career or outside job. And compared to carrying a briefcase and charging down Wall Street, motherhood may be more demanding, yet more fulfilling. And of course, motherhood and homemaking is a full-time job in and of itself. When Jamie and I were celebrating our 10th anniversary, we were able to go on a cruise. Jamie got up on, there was a one of their shows that they were doing, and she got called out of the audience, and they were asking people where they were from and what they do. And the person asked, how many kids do you have? What's your name? Are you married? And she said, three little kids. And they said, what do you do? And she said, I take care of my kids. And what was interesting is there were different ladies on the later on that would come up to her and say how much they appreciated her answer. I take care of my kids, as if that's some unusual thing or some big deal. And I guess maybe it is, when the majority of moms of little kids work outside the home, as some survey suggests. It's unusual for some to hear of someone who doesn't. But as you know, especially if you've been around longer than me, it wasn't always that way. 50 years ago, before the revolution, there were statistics of a very small percentage of those who work outside the home, and very few at all of those who had little children. And whether Christian or not, they realized the difficulty, if not the impossibility, of working full-time or even many part-time jobs without neglecting their duty to their home and their children and their family that they took more serious than more money. And you have to ask, has the radical feminist movement of the last several decades delivered the happiness it has promised? Has the amount of what Titus II would call younger women in this stage of life have joined the workforce? Some statistics show 80% of, not necessarily all of those having children, but of these ladies here, married ladies, extramarital affairs in that same time frame have skyrocketed exponentially, many of those having to do with increased contact with co-workers of the opposite gender, and divorces have skyrocketed at the same time, and the families have struggled, and some might even argue that some of the economic difficulties that come along with the whole change of making everything based on two incomes now has made it harder for moms to care for kids, and there's a lot of difficulties. Family stress has gone through the roof in those years. Doctors prescribe drugs for those problems. It's a multi-billion dollar industry of prescribing drugs now to families and to those who are stressed out and stretched. And sadly, millions of young kids are growing up without the nurturing daily love of their mother. And our society is seeing the fruit of a generation that has grown up before us, even through much of their formative years, being not around their father and mother. Of course, there are many single moms, and that's a tragic thing, and the father has a critical role to play as well, and that's a big part of that. Listen to these statistics. 56% of American women in 2006 with infants are in the workforce. 69% of those work full-time. These are with infants under the age of one. And what I thought was interesting is the statistic is even a little bit higher for those who are married with infants than it is for single moms. We certainly sympathize and understand the difficult role that's placed for single moms. I didn't expect the statistic to be higher for those who were married. These are the Bureau of Labor Statistics, the U.S. statistics from a 2004 message. 50% of mothers go back to work within 3 months of having a newborn. All but 14% of those do it full-time. Some of the people Jamie and I knew and used to work with, 6 weeks was common in the company I was with, and a few would go back to work in less than a month. Some studies say, this is from a Christian publication, that 68% of women would like to be home with their kids if they could, but difficult decisions and debts that they have racked up made it a real challenge to fulfill their God-given desire and role. This passage is saying that older women need to be helping younger women to be thinking sensibly and biblically and to plan ahead. Because if you haven't planned and been disciplined with your finances, that is a very big challenge. The same U.S. Bureau of Labor said 72% of moms go back to work after 1 year. 65% overall of married mothers with kids under the age of six work outside the home. I think, husbands, that a big part of this responsibility falls on you if you want to take seriously the important role of nurturing children in their formative years. Living within your means, living within your income, not forcing your wife into a role that makes her God-given role difficult. I know what I'm saying here is controversial, but I believe this is what God's Word is clearly saying. Turn over to 1 Timothy 5 so you know this is not just one passage. 1 Timothy 5, it says there that if a man does not provide for his own family, he has denied the faith, and he is even worse than an unbeliever. Taking care of your family, I don't think, means keeping up with the Joneses. I think to honor biblical priorities, you may need to live a quite different lifestyle than your neighbors. Help your wife. That's 1 Timothy 5:8, which speaks of the role to provide for your own, especially your own household. But taking care of making that a priority is something that you need to help lead in. And maybe many wives want to do that, but they need your loving leadership and support and help and encouragement and planning and praying. 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 8. We'll come back to 1 Timothy 5. There's another verse there. But 1 Thessalonians 2, if you go back a few pages, 1 Thessalonians 2, 7. When Paul speaks of the most gentle way that they could be among people, he says, "We prove to be gentle among you as a nursing mother tenderly cares for her own children." This is what he could appeal to. It was a given that a loving mother of nursing age or nursery age children would tenderly care for her own children. It would not leave that role to someone else. The term for the young children used here can be used for kids several years old. We do know in Scripture that Priscilla and Aquila worked in a trade outside alongside Paul. They were a married couple. There's no indication, though, that in their church planting role that she worked to the neglect of her young children. The Bible is not saying that women can't work, let me be clear, but it is saying, as you read these texts, that the priority is working at home and nurturing them, especially when they are young. The context speaks of those with children in their care in Titus 2. Don't let that vital ministry suffer for any other pursuit, not just a job, but even other extracurricular things you do. We have to be careful, even with some of the spiritual or church things we do, to make sure we're not neglecting priority number one. And it's a priority, even if you don't have school-age children at home, but you may be more available to do things later in life, not in that early stage. And when your kids are out of the home, they're obviously more things you can do without neglecting the priorities. But I would say this, that even church involvement, I would encourage you to be careful to make sure you're not stretching yourself beyond your ability to this ministry. The Proverbs 31 woman certainly worked outside the home. If you read the text, she was industrious, and much of her ministry revolved around her home priorities. She did things outside the home, for the home, and in the context of the home. And again, there's no indication it was to the neglect of her family. In fact, there was very much indication that she nurtured and loved and was committed to her family. In Titus 2:5, you look back at that text, and we'll look back at 1 Timothy 5 again. But that word kind probably goes along with this priority in the home. It could modify it. There's some discussion as to whether it refers to a kind worker at home or a good worker at home. In other words, just being at home doesn't automatically fulfill this verse. It's speaking of those who are busy, working hard. It may emphasize the kindness needed, so it would be a separate term, a kindness needed when you're tending to children and others in the home. And it mentions slaves later, which sometimes were in the home, or guests in the home. The emphasis clearly is on the home as a priority. And where it's not, God's word is dishonored, even blasphemed. Look at 1 Timothy 5 again. 1 Timothy 5 and verse 13, we talked about this a little bit last time, but it speaks of some who learn to be idle, 1 Timothy 5:13, as they go around from house to house, and not merely idle, but also gossips and busybodies, talking about things not proper to mention. So therefore, I want the younger to get married, bear children, keep house, and give the enemy no occasion for reproach, for some have already turned aside to follow Satan. That's some strong language there. The text is saying that women who bear children and don't keep house give the enemy an occasion for reproach. The text and the order that it gives it there is very almost identical to Titus 2:5, and it speaks stronger of women who turn from their God-given priority. It says that some have even turned aside to follow Satan instead. Those who want to overthrow this verse about a woman's priority may sound sensitive, but 1 Timothy 5 says that that actually can be satanic. Satan, from the beginning of time, has been working to undermine what God's word has to say about husband and wife. Ever since the Garden of Eden, he goes and he usurps the role, beginning with Eve and Adam. And he promises liberation and freedom and blessing if women will throw aside what God has said, but his real goal is to bring them in bondage to sinful ways of thinking. We need a Titus 2 movement to truly liberate women. Young women need to know the truth that will set them free, and you ladies need to tell them. When the book of Proverbs ends that Solomon wrote, it is on this high note of godly feminine virtues. Turn to Proverbs 31, because the language there is almost identical to this passage. The goal for the Titus 2 woman, the type of woman who is to be instructing the younger woman, is described in Proverbs 31, and I encourage you to study the whole section, but just three verses there. And we've been talking about the wisdom or the sobering and the giving sense to other ladies and teaching and kindness and the house and children and husbands. Listen to what Proverbs 31, 26 through 28 says. She opens her mouth in wisdom, just like the woman in Titus 2. And the teaching, teaching is mentioned in Titus 2, 3. The teaching of kindness, that word kindness, the New Testament equivalent is also in Titus. The teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the way of her household, as Titus 2 talks about. Does not eat the bread of idleness, as 1 Timothy talks about. Her children rise up and bless her. Her husband also, and he praises her. This is someone who loved her husband and loved her children, and they praise her as a result. This is the type of woman that Paul is calling on in Titus 2 to minister in the church by teaching and encouraging and admonishing the younger women in wisdom to also have kindness on their tongue, that they would also be able to look well to the ways of their household, and that their love for their children and their love for their husband would cause them to bless her. What a beautiful portrait this is of what is so beautiful in God's eyes. R.C. Sproul, first time I ever heard him speak at Shepherd's Conference, he shared an occasion when he had moved from pastoral responsibilities. He had been a pastor, and now he had come and was teaching as a seminary professor, theology professor, and they would have young students in their home. And this one student asked him, referring to back in the time when his focus was only preaching ministry in the local church, he said, "What was it like when you were just a pastor?" Sproul's reply was, "In my teaching career, I've always taken the position that I should respect any genuine question that a student asks and should never be angered or offended by an honest question, but you just broke the record." "What do you mean, just a pastor?" I can't quite do his voice, but he's got a raspy voice. As if there is some higher calling for men under the sun. About 10 years ago, R.C. was asked to pastor a church in Orlando, and he said it's been the most exciting enterprise of his life to be present. There's no greater honor to be present with people who are on the front lines of ministry as shepherds and pastors to the people of God. And he said, "God forbid that you would ever hear me say, just a pastor." Now, what does that have to do with our text? I want to be careful that we don't use that expression as well. Just a mom. Just a wife. What do you mean, just a mom? As if there's some higher calling for godly women under the sun, that moms have some inferior ministry than those who don't have children? Is that what we are saying? Bible-loving Christians, we need to be careful how we use the phrases in our vocabulary. Just a homemaker, just a housewife, just a mom of little kids. Here's what one lady wrote to Ann Landers years ago. "I'm so tired of all those ignorant people who come up to my husband and ask him if his wife has a job or if she is just a housewife. Here's my job description. I'm a wife, mother, friend, confidant, personal advisor, lover, referee, peacemaker, housekeeper, laundress, chauffeur, interior decorator, gardener, painter, wallpaperer, dog groomer, veterinarian, manicurist, barber, seamstress, appointment manager, financial planner, bookkeeper, money manager, personal secretary." She's given this some time, you can see. "Personal secretary, teacher, disciplinarian, entertainer, psychoanalyst, nurse, diagnostician, public relations expert, dietitian and nutritionist, baker, chef, fashion coordinator, and letter writer for both sides of the family." She's not done. "Also a travel agent, speech therapist, plumber, and automobile maintenance and repair expert. From the studies done alone, it would cost more than $75,000 a year to replace me. I took time out of my busy day to write this letter, Anne, because there are still ignorant people who believe a housewife is nothing more than a babysitter who sits on her behind all day and looks at soap operas." Well, heaven forbid that we as Christians would use the phrases "just a wife" or "just a mom." Titus 2 says this is a great and high calling in the eyes of God to marriage, motherhood, and making home her priority. It's not the same ministry as a preacher, but it's an urgently vital ministry in the eyes of God, a ministry that shapes the next generation one child at a time, and a ministry that, when done faithfully by godly gals, is a visual sermon in and of itself of the transforming grace of God that makes it possible. Let's see if we can't remove that word "just" from our vocabulary when speaking of these Titus 2 ministry priorities. Let's be a church that encourages and uplifts women and wives and moms and homeschoolers and those with little kids and those struggling with teenage kids and people who are just struggling in life, different situations. There are single moms in our church family that we want to be sympathetic to and serve and help in any ways we can. There are some with unique family situations. Let's be a church also where the godly women and the older women are Titus 2 women who will mentor and who will model the rest so that God's word will be adorned and that God's grace will be on display.
Next week, we'll be back in the book of Genesis with a detailed look at God's design for marriage. You can listen to today's message in its entirety or read the text online at www.goldcountrybaptist.org. Gold Country Baptist Church is located 30 miles east of Sacramento, right off Highway 50 in Shingle Springs, California. Our Sunday worship services are 8:15 and 11 a.m. with Sunday school available for all ages at 9:45 and an evening service at 6 p.m. Feel free to call us at 530-677-4122. That's 530-677-4122 or visit us online at www.goldcountrybaptist.org for more information about our church.